This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Joy Powers. Most art curators work for museums. They tend to have substantial academic credentials in art history and museum studies. David Wagner is not an art historian, and his academic background is in musical performance and arts administration. But he is a curator.
Wagner's Milwaukee-based business, David J. Wagner, LLC, arranges and markets art exhibitions for museums around the world. At any one time, he might have 8 to 10 different exhibitions on the road. We'll hear more about one of them currently on view in Green Bay a little later in the show. But now we were curious to learn more about this facet of the art business, so we asked David Wagner to come to the show. Thanks so much, David, for coming in.
My pleasure.
How did you get into the curatorial business as a private entity? I mean, you're not affiliated with museums, but yet you have all of these wonderful exhibits going around the world. So how did that happen for you? I mean, you started out as a musician, right?
I did. However, my career was sideswiped. When I was in graduate school, I took an elective class. It was taught by the director of the museum at Indiana University in Bloomington, where I was doing my master's degree, and I had been accepted in applied piano in the music school, which is a good music school. But along the way, I changed the course of my career and morphed into a program entitled Arts Administration. It was a young program back then, and its concept was to train people to be in the management side of the arts business. So to fulfill that degree, I signed up for an elective of museum studies. And the instructor, a professor, took me under his wing. He liked my work, and he asked me if I'd like to do an internship at his museum, the Indiana University Museum.
Had you had any experience with the visual arts before that, other than just going to a museum yourself and looking at them?
Not really. I was reared in the performing arts. I have a degree in applied piano. I play the guitar. I have a degree in a minor in vocal performance. But I really didn't have a background in museums, though I had visited them. In fact, as a kid, would come with my cousins and grandmother and mother to the Milwaukee Public Museum when it was in another entire building. So I have a long relationship with museums, but really I hadn't envisioned a career in museums whatsoever back then.
So what was it about the idea of curating a visual experience for people that grabbed you?
I like working with artists. I like working with paintings and sculptures, getting to develop a concept into the reality, the physical reality of an exhibition. And throughout the early portion of my career, I was given an opportunity to take exhibitions that I was involved with to develop and to travel them around the country and around the world, for that matter. The first exhibition that I had the opportunity to tour went to the Smithsonian, which was a grand slam in anyone's career. But back then, I was probably 26 or 27 years old. And I was just very lucky, very fortunate to have the connections and the wherewithal to take an exhibition as my first exhibition to the Smithsonian.
I was going to say sort of the mecca of museums.
Yeah, I've never topped that.
Well, what a wonderful experience to have. Do you find that your musical background and your performing background helps you visualize, maybe that's the wrong verb to use, but helps you conceptualize these more static exhibits?
I suppose in the sense that you get great organizational skills and discipline in the performing arts. You must have those to be a reasonably good musician. However, for many years, I used to think about the correlation in art history and music history of the various isms and movements and periods of art, classical art, Baroque, Impressionism, so forth. And they really never correlated as much as I thought they would. So in a direct sense, the answer is probably no.
I was thinking of it even more conceptually, even more in sort of in a meta way of like, as a musician, do you think about how you're going to lay things out and how people would experience it differently?
I think about elements and principles of composition and design, for sure. When I'm involved in curating an exhibition, I have sort of an equation, And the top side of my equation is quality. Number one for me is quality, 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 because my company is attempting to market and promote exhibitions to museums. And museums are filled with people who are trained with connoisseurship studies, and they really have an eye for quality. That's their business, after all. So I have to offer them artworks that have quality. On the other hand, the underside of the equation is diversity. If I am organizing an exhibition of animals in art, well, I don't want all alligators or giraffes in the exhibition. I want a diverse environmental spectrum of all classes and all species of animals. So there's diversity, but then there has to be quality as an overarching sort of parameter.
When you were setting up the business, which is a private company, as you say, marketing to museums who often have curatorial staffs of their own who are trying to set up their own things, how do you work in that? How does that cooperation or lack thereof work? Has it been difficult for you to convince museums to get something from outside?
I would say that most museums look at traveling or changing exhibitions as a hook, as something new to bring people into the door or back into the door. Most museums become fairly static if they just simply rely on their permanent collections, unless they're a destination museum with a historic importance or something like that. Williamsburg, everyone's going to Williamsburg because it's an experience, of colonial America. On the other hand, if you take more of a public or a community museum, they may have a great collection, but there's always something that the people in marketing department at the museum want to bring new people or return visitors back in. And that's a given in museums. Museums have developed that sort of paradigm. So there's a ready-made market for exhibitions.
So you have a niche to fill.
I do. And I have competition, too. Museums and organizations like mine, our organization is very, very small. It's a small company. It's an LLC that we incorporated in the state of Wisconsin right here in Milwaukee. But the Smithsonian, for example, has an entire department right on the mall that's dedicated to producing and traveling exhibitions. That's one of the biggest entities of that sort. And then there are many, many others throughout the nation. But really, there aren't that many. So it is a niche market, as you say.
Well, and you can make a living doing this.
Yeah.
Kind of, sort of.
It's a challenge. After I came out of graduate school, I was very fortunate to be offered a job as a museum director. And I think I was about 23 or 24 years old when I was given that job. It was a small museum. But in any event, I had that job for 10 years and then moved on to several other jobs. So I was a museum director for 20 years. And I had made all sorts of contacts and I learned the ropes, learned the business. And one day a friend of mine, I was working in New York. I was employed there at a museum. And a friend of mine who was the chair of graduate studies at Bard Graduate School, he said to me, Dave, have you ever thought about going private? And, I never really have. And the light bulb kind of went off in my mind. It was like being an artist, but having your day job as an art instructor, you're jumping off a cliff. You're leaving that comfort and that safety net of having health insurance and a regular paycheck. But I tried it. I jumped off the cliff. I formed this LLC. I had all sorts of contacts from 20 years of experience. And the one thing that I really liked about doing this was I get to work with exhibitions. As a museum professional, a director of 20 years, you sort of grow out of the core activity of doing exhibitions. I mean, you're involved with working with fundraising, public relations, board members, the politics of it all, and all those other things, management, in other words. So this was a thought that he had given me that enabled me to get back to the basics and do what I really liked to do in the first place, and that was curate exhibitions.
Well, and you've got a number of them out right now. You gave me a list, basically a number of pamphlets here. The reason I found out about you was because of an exhibition that's currently in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. We interviewed the artist.
Corey Trepanier.
Right. And that's how I found out about you and mm-hmm. about your company and the fact that he's represented, or at least this exhibition is is yours. And so it looks like, despite the fact that you are a small LLC, you've got a lot going on.
We do. We probably have about a half a dozen to 8 or 10 exhibitions somewhere in the nation and hopefully beyond. Corey's exhibition, Into the Arctic, is a Canadian project. We work closely with the Canadian Embassy in Washington, D.C. to launch it. It's at the Neville Public Museum for the summer in Green Bay. And as a matter of fact, Corey was giving a talk at a film screening. He's a filmmaker, an explorer, and an artist, a painter. And he was screening a film in Monaco at an environmental program. And unbeknownst to us, the Prince of Monaco stood up before the crowd and announced that he was going to have the museum there host our exhibition in the summer of 19, the entire summer in Monaco. And I thought, wow, is that amazing? We haven't even pitched it, and we've just heard that it's been announced that it's coming to Monaco.
So you've become international beyond Canada.
Yeah. Well, in that sense, I mean, that was a real surprise, and we're, you know, delighted. I've worked on other international projects. But this one is the most recent to really take off in a big, big, big way.
What are some of the challenges that you find doing this work? Is it finding places to take the exhibitions, or is it finding the things to make up the exhibitions themselves?
Well, the number one challenge is marketing. It's all about sell, sell, sell. You have to have a good quality product, a good diverse product, but you also then have to get it out there in the marketplace. It's like if you're a writer on the staff of a newspaper, space in a newspaper is precious. So the publisher and the editor-in-chief, they weigh carefully how much space you're given as a writer. The same with exhibitions. Museums only have 12 months in a year, and they have a lot to choose from, and they have a lot of their own ideas, their own concepts, things they want to develop. So somehow you have to find your way, wiggle your way into that scenario, and first of all, offer something that interests the museum, and then you have to get them to sign the dotted line in a contract and take the exhibition. So that's not an easy challenge. In fact, that's the greatest challenge I face and my company faces. But we've been fortunate. I mean, I've been blessed since the LLC was founded in the late 90s to have regular exhibitions, some of them ongoing continuously from place to place, down the road in an 18-wheeler, set up at this museum for 2 or 3 or 4 months, break it down, go to the next place. And, you know, it's been a good ride thus far, and I hope it continues.
Do you do soup to nuts? Once the exhibition has been purchased by the museum, you take it there, you set it up, you break it down when it's time?
Well, that's an interesting and a good question. Some companies, there's a company, a big company in New York City that produces exhibitions, a competitor, and they require that their staff go there and set it up and hang it and design it and lay it out and all of that. I found, though, that the axiom, too many cooks in the kitchen don't end up in a good result. And more often than not, can end up with hard feelings if you're dictatorial and have a heavy hand telling design people or museum curators and the like how to choreograph an exhibition in their museum. They all have tremendous pedigrees of training, you know, master's degrees and PhDs and this, that, and the other thing. And far be it from someone like me or someone that I might work with to go in and tell them how to orchestrate an exhibition in their own space that they know intimately and work inside of day in and day out. So we avoid that. I mean, we give a lot of latitude to the staff to kind of lay it out. I don't go to every exhibition, but I travel enough. And I often find that if you give them the rein, give them some rope, they make you look better than you are. And it's always new and interesting and a new approach and novel. And, you know, I'm never disappointed in an installation that a museum staff installs of one of our exhibitions. Never. They do great jobs.
You get to see it in a different way.
You do. And it's really fun.
Are there any times when you do say this has to be set up a certain way, but you have latitude for everything else?
No. The only issue might be if there's an installation, for example, where it's complex and you have things hanging from the ceiling or, you know, there are certain requirements in terms of conservation and protection. I'm working presently with an artist from Japan. Her name is Sayaka Gans. And her exhibition is at the Museum of the Northwest in Spokane. It just went there from a museum in Utah and is having a great run, a great success. And she does these installations where she takes found objects like plastics that she finds floating in the ocean or in a dump, and she assembles them into these incredible, as large as a studio room, incredible installations of a polar bear with her cubs, or an orca, or other school of jellyfish, and she'll light them, and they're hanging by monofilament. In that sense, she created videos for each piece, and we send in advance to the museum the videos, so the staff there can watch her speaking and instructing them how to take it out of the crate, how to hang it, and then to deinstall it and to recreate it. And in that sense, because of the delicacy of the piece, and you want to make sure it's taken care of, and also you don't want something falling on a visitor.
would not be good.
There's a lot of attention to detail. So that would be an extreme kind of installation that we'd be involved with, but a necessary way to approach it.
So how do you find basing yourself here in Milwaukee? Is it a good central location for the kind of work that you're doing?
It is. It is. I mean, I've lived in and worked in various cities throughout the nation and the world, for that matter. And Milwaukee's been very good. I enjoy Milwaukee, and it's central. But to tell you the truth, I probably could run my business just about anywhere in the world as long as I have an internet connection. Because a lot of the work I do is on the computer. You know, first of all, we have a concept that we have to come up with. What would make a good concept for an exhibition? Then you have to flush it out and get the contents to materialize that concept. Then you have to sell it and promote it. Well, that's mass marketing, basically, to museums. Then you have to pull everything together and move it down the road and take it on tour. So that kind of work can be done from an office just about anywhere.
Well, David Wagner, it is so interesting to talk to you to find out what you do. I assume you have a website that people can go to see what exhibitions are currently happening. Do you have any coming up in Milwaukee other than what's happening in Green Bay?
I don't have any. I'm hopeful there will be some coming here. It would be really nice. We just opened an exhibition that was kind of tangentially related to Milwaukee. There in Daytona Beach, there's something called Bike Week in March, and our exhibition, Luster, which is a hyper-realist painting exhibition of cars and motorcycles, including Harleys and Indian motorcycles and everything else under the sun, was selected to be at the museum to open Bike Week back in March, and that was kind of fun. It would be great to bring it to Milwaukee.
Yeah, it sounds like it would be perfect. I think you need to talk to the Harley folks.
You got that right.
See what you can do. David Wagner, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie. I appreciate it.
David Wagner is the founder of the Milwaukee-based David J. Wagner, LLC. The company produces and manages traveling exhibitions for museums and other cultural and scientific institutions throughout the world.